Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our focus this afternoon is found recorded in Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 22. First of all, Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And then Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." The Word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, paradise. Perfection. In your mind's eye, when you think about those things, what do they look like? Paradise. Perfection. A popular music group said it this way: "When she was just a girl, she expected the world. But it flew away from her reach, so she ran away in her sleep and dreamed of paradise." The second verse goes on and says, "When she was just a girl, she expected the world, but it flew away from her reach, and the bullets catch in her teeth. Life goes on. It gets heavy. The wheel breaks the butterfly, every tear a waterfall. In the storm, the stormy night, she'll close her eyes. In the night, the stormy night, away she'd fly and dream of paradise." Now, I don't know that any of us would necessarily disagree with this band's view of how things are in the world. Yes, when we're young, we're idealistic and we look at the world and think it's pretty good. But as we get a little older and we experience the problems of this world, we realize that, well, bullets fly. Butterflies die. Things get heavy. Storms rage. Life is filled with disappointment. Things break. Things fail. We break. We fail. Violent and disturbing things are all around us. But violent and disturbing things are also inside of us. But you know, it wasn't always that way. When God created this world, it was truly a paradise. When God created this world, there wasn't any danger. There wasn't any pain. There was no fear. There were no worries. Everything was exactly right. Exactly perfect. Exactly the way God intended for it to be. But the best thing of all was the relationship of us human beings with our Creator God. God would come down and He would walk with human beings, face to face, hand in hand, perfect unity between us. That garden is a picture of that perfect unity. That garden represents that perfect fellowship, that perfect harmony between human beings and each other, that perfect harmony of human beings with nature, and that perfect harmony with our Creator God. That is until us human beings decided that we thought we needed something more. Or maybe we might say something less than perfection. Those first human beings desired to be like God. But you know what? That's not who we are. They desired something that would corrupt God's perfect design for our lives. The old evil foe came along and said, "You're missing something." And so they bought the lie. They desired that something that Satan said that they were missing. They believed, they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate death. Paradise is now lost. They broke that perfect relationship with God. They broke that fear and love and trust that was between them. They exchanged eternal life for a lie, for eternal death. The Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Or maybe we might say die forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Adam and Eve's sin now separated them from God. It separated them from life. It took away their ability to now go and eat of that tree of life and live forever. They were exiled from that place of light and beauty and now cast out into that outer darkness, into a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. They were exiled. Their return forbidden, cut off from God, cut off from life. We were created in the image of God from the dust of the earth, and now we return to the dust in shame. We were created to live forever in God's presence, never to die, but now cut off to die forever. How tragic for Adam and Eve to have had that perfect life, that perfect relationship, that paradise, and now gone. How tragic for them, how tragic for their children, how tragic for us. Exiled, barred from paradise, barred from perfection, banished to a sin-sick, sin-damaged world. It's our sin that keeps us out. It's our sin that exiles us from God. If only we could be perfect. If only we could find a way back into that garden. If only we could once again have that perfect relationship with God. If only we could fix what was broken. But there is the angel holding that sword that bars us in our imperfection. It's our sin that exiles us from Him. It's all around us, that sin. It's in us. We cannot return from that exile on our own. We failed. We can't enter into the presence of God with our sin-stained hearts or hands. We can't do it. We find ourselves helpless and hopeless. When God would show up, we have to run away like Adam and Eve. When God shows up and confronts us in our sin, we want to point the finger at somebody else, take His eyes off of us. But when He stands there in front of us, we have to admit, we can't do it. We can't live up to that perfection. We are sinners. We are exiled from the garden, banished from His presence. We cannot return on our own. We need help. We need a Savior. We need somebody who can be perfect, who can restore us to a right relationship with God, who can open the way to that paradise. Well, right after that fall into sin, right before God told them they were being cast out, God made a promise. He pointed to the seed of the woman, a seed who would grow a new garden. He pointed to His Son, who would come and do what we have failed to do, to live perfectly in our place, to battle against Satan and his lies, to battle against him and overcome, to open the way to eternal life. the seed of the woman would come and crush the devil's head, and in turn Jesus would die for us. The promised one would overcome. He would grow up without rot, without wilt. He would grow up and be the sinless sacrifice for our sins. He would go forward and lay down His life for us there on the cross. And God would accept the sacrifice of His Son. His death on that cross, we hear Him as He's dying, assure us that the way, because of what He did for us, is now open. We hear Him say from the cross, "Today, today you will be with me in paradise." You know, I'm pretty sure that that band had no idea how close they really were to the truth at the very end of their song. It's very interesting what they wrote. And I know they had that, they're expressing that universal search for paradise, for getting away from the sinful consequences of this world. And what they wrote is probably just a hopeful statement. But how close they actually got to the truth. Listen to what they've said at the end of that song. "And so lying underneath those stormy skies, she'd say, 'Oh, oh, oh, I know the sun must set to rise. This could be paradise.'" The sun must set to rise. I know they just meant it as a hopeful statement. But you know what? The sun, the light of the world, came into this world. He went to that cross for us. He was extinguished there on that cross. He went to the tomb. He died for us, was buried there. He died, His light extinguished for us. But He couldn't be held in that tomb. He rose, the sun rising on Easter Sunday morning, triumphant over sin, death, and the devil. And now the angel pulls back the sword. The way to paradise is now open. That's the beautiful garden picture that is held out in that last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22 that describes for us that place in heaven where there is no more darkness because there is no more sin or death. Revelation chapter 22 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the Lamb of God ruling on His throne in heaven, who has opened the way to paradise. The angel draws back the sword. The river of life is flowing. The tree of life is bearing its fruit. And we are standing there with Him because He won that salvation for us. There we shall live in His presence forever, perfect. From garden to garden, from Eden to heaven, a return from exile. In Jesus' name, amen.